The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. Whichever field of deen we look at, we see your success. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, welcome once again in our program which goes by the title of The Genius of the East. In today's episode, inshallah azza wa jal, we will be talking about another dimension of the versatile personality of Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, from the scientific perspective. In our last episode, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, we covered the topic of astrology and his astrological achievements which he achieved for the reformation of this ummah. Today, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, there's a new topic and a very important topic, a new branch of science in which Imam Ahl Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh had illustrious command, a great command, and he Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh had great achievements in this very branch of science as well. What topic will we be covering today? This would be the topic of mathematics. Mathematics, my dear Islamic brothers, is a very important topic in our daily lives. And Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, also had great expertise in the field of mathematics. Insha'Allah, before we go any further into this topic, let's listen to the virtue of reciting Durood-e Paak, sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So my Shaykh-e Tariqat, Amir-e Ahle Sunnat, the devotee of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and a true devotee of Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Hazrat-e Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Razavi Ziyai, Damat Barakatuhumul Aliya, mentions a beautiful virtue of reciting Durood-e Paak in his beautiful and remarkable booklet called Ziyai Durood-o Salam, The Blessings of Salat and Salam. He mentions a hadith in it that whoever recites Salat upon me 50 times a day, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that whoever recites Salat upon me, sends peace and salutations upon me 50 times a day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, as mentioned earlier, that today we will be talking about the great expertise of the great Imam, Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, in the field of mathematics. Now, maths is something which is very important in our lives. We can't carry out our daily acts of life without the fundamental concepts of mathematics. Mathematics concepts, they revolve around our daily activities. So what expertise did Imam Ahl Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh have in this very branch of science? Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, Aba Muballighi Dawat-e Islami, who has been with us throughout this series of episodes, will be shedding more light onto this very aspect of the branch of science. So before we jump into the expertise of Imam Ahl Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh into the branch of mathematics, if Dr. Sahib, we can briefly explain the views of Madani Channel, that what exactly mathematics is, as an introduction to the views of Madani Channel, so they get a gist of what this branch is. That as I remember, as youngsters, this was one of the most hated subjects for most of us. But is it just limited to this, or there's more to it? There's more to mathematics. So after getting a gist of it, that what exactly mathematics is, then we can move on to diving into the expertise of Imam Ahle Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh that he had into this very branch of science.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think this mathematics is that branch of medicine which again encompasses, as we perhaps discussed in this section of physics, that it encompasses a whole range of sciences. Okay. And so, for example, arithmetic, geometry, algebra, all of those would come under the auspice of mathematics.
So we can say that if you want to excel in any of these fields that you've just mentioned, we need to have an in-depth knowledge or a good command over mathematics.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's so as you said, so mathematics is one of those primary subjects which are taught, you know, right from early age all the way up. And if we look at something very simple as teaching a child about how to do 1 + 1 and taking it all the way to the complex mathematical equations and formulae which are used in mega computers, they're all again based on those mathematical formulae. So I think there's a lot which we could say about mathematics, but when we look at it in the context of the universe which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created, one comes to know of what a mathematical beauty it is. Because when the word mathematics comes, for a learned person, the next word which comes to mind with mathematics is balance. It gives whichever object you look at, it has its balance to it. Right. And that's what mathematics can do. If we understand it, then that's what it can do. So there are several examples around our life which we could see where mathematics is applied, where mathematics is important. But again, if you look in the context of a deen and Islam, there are again several examples of where that's important. So one of the usual examples I give is that if we look at the holy book revealed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the one who has revealed, his name has 4 letters.
Right.
The one who it is revealed to also has 4 letters.
Subhanallah.
The Quran which is revealed also has 4 letters.
Subhanallah.
And the language in which is revealed also has 4 letters.
Arabic.
Subhanallah. So is this all coincidence? Of course not. There is this mathematical beauty to this, which only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows. What is the significance of this number 4? And then if we extend that, we know that there are 4 caliphs, Alayhim Ridwan. So this number 4 seems to have some form of balance to it and beauty to it, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has selected it for His blessed Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam when it comes to His name, when it comes to the book which will be a complete code of life for humanity. Why does it all have 4 in it? Then we look at the Holy Quran itself. So if we look at the Sahaba Ikram Ali Meridwan and how they would read the Holy Quran, they would like to finish the recitation of the Holy Quran in a week, over 7 days. And that's where the division of the Holy Quran into manazil comes from. So in one manzil, they would finish 1/7 of the Holy Quran. So there are 7 manazil in the Quran. And then if we look at even the words in the Holy Quran, they also have this mathematical quality to them. So the word dunya and its comparison to the word akhirah. And so we can keep looking. So again, if we look at the name of our blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that's come in the Holy Quran 4 times. So it has 4 letters and it comes 4 times. And then I'm sure a famous example, again from the Holy Quran, which everyone would know, is when scholars were deciding in terms of the various traditions regarding Laylatul Qadr. And the belief about that it is on the 27th night of Ramadan, where does that come from? The word Laylatul Qadr, narrated in the Suratul Qadr 3 times. And the word has 9 letters, and 9 times 3 is 27. So we see examples really spread all over, all around us. If we look into it, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us this mathematical examples of beauty in the Holy Quran in our teachings as well.
Subhanallah. So we come to know that mathematics is an essential part of our life. It's in a way integral part of our lives. So how does Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, make it relevant to our lives?
MashaAllah, that's again a great question. So obviously again, we wouldn't expect Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma to do any less than what he has done in other branches of science. So when it comes to, again, the mathematics, so as I said, you know, so various things would come under the examples of that. So in the first episode, I mentioned the number of books he's written on that particular subject, so on algebra, on geometry. And then throughout the episodes, I gave examples of how he even drew geometrical diagrams to explain the reflection and refraction of light, to explain the concepts of the planetary motions and certainly the astrological motion. All of those, again, comes from mathematical principles. But when it comes to practical applications, again, in the context of deen, in the context of understanding and making it easy for ummah, he's the one who tells us what is the threshold for zakat. So that comes from, again, those mathematical equations and the calculations which he has used to come to what should be the threshold of zakat. And then when it comes to, again, we've referred to it a few times, the time, the journey, and it again required a lot of calculations to reach to that level of, this is 57 miles and 3 furlongs, or 92.5 kilometers. That is again the research of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma based on mathematical principles. Right. If you look at logarithm, he's the one who gave us these logarithmic formulae for some of the things we've discussed. But things beyond that, and when he talks about logarithms, we are talking about things which are going 10 raised to power 10.
Allah.
So to that extent, so we're talking about 10 zeros added to 10, and that being done without calculators, without computers, manually. He's doing that to infer all the teachings of Islam which have been over centuries using mathematical formula and logarithmic calculations to come to that answer.
That's amazing. And if you think about it, all these services which he obviously rendered and all these principles that he came up with, it was just to make things easy for the Muslim Ummah. Otherwise, these rulings were already in place. You know, the furlongs and all other measures that we've been talking about, they were already in place. But he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, went a step forward for the ease of the ummah. And all these logarithmic formulas and all these other concepts of mathematics that he came up with, which we can't even imagine of doing in today's day and age without a calculator or without a mega computer, Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was able to do them all manually. And if you think about it, Dr. Saab, if I have a skill, if I have any kind of quality, I would, you know, try to be acclaimed or acknowledged by everyone in that specific department. And I would try to, you know, gain fame and status and these kind of things. And I would try to, for example, I'm an IT specialist, and I come up with such a software which no one else in the world has. So I would put a good loyalty on it, and I would try to make good money out of it. You know, this would be my approach. And rightly so, there's nothing wrong in it. As long as I'm not contradicting the laws of Sharia, everything is fine. But look at the madani mindset of Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that as we mentioned in our previous episodes, that up until his time, there was no proper book written on the branch of time. And then these logarithmic formulas and all these things had not been used by other people for the sake of deen the way Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala used. So if Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala wanted to, if his desire was to attain fame and status, just imagine what he could have brought a revolution in that century, 150 years ago, which we've managed to bring in this century.
Alhamdulillah.
Single-handedly, Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala would have been able to do so in the last century. But his aim was just to use his skills and abilities that Allah Almighty blessed him with just to serve the deen. And in today's day and age, even this is my presumption, that if a very knowledgeable scholar is asked to use those logarithmic formulas without the help of calculators and mega computers and stuff, hardly anyone would be able to use them when we are talking about multiplying a number which has 10 zeros with another number which has 10 zeros next to them. But Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, may their lives be sacrificed upon him, that he used all this knowledge and all these abilities and bestowments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just for the sake of deen and not to attain fame and status. As we're talking about, obviously, this very important science of maths, we come to know that Ala Hazrat, as mentioned earlier, looked at this branch of knowledge again through the eye of deen, through the eye of religion. So it must be of, like, also the other topics that we've covered, it also refers to the fact that he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, would have so much in-depth knowledge to this science, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think, as you always say, that we can't even do justice to any field where he has rendered his services. So one of the things which, again, would resonate with the views of Madani Channel, so especially in the Western world, if you look at on the back of the newspapers or magazines, there is a very common... usually it comes in two forms. There's either a crossword puzzle or it is Sudoku. Yeah. So Sudoku, a lot of people would use, which is basically a combinatorial logic-based
number
square, which you have to fill with numbers. And whichever way you go around it, so it's a 9x9 box, and you have to come up with one particular answer. So whether you go diagonally, vertically, horizontally, it gives you that number. So a lot of people use that to improve their brain skills. So I just keep the brain exercise and use it for that. Right. However, some people would know that the tawizat which are offered, they're also based on a very similar thing. And they are, so we use that. So there are two things related to that. One is this... the knowledge which is where we have given a value to an Arabic letter, and we call it the knowledge of abjad. So that's based on the first four letters and the values they carry.
Right.
So this is one of those almost obsolete sciences which say the Ala Hazrat alayhi rahma was such an expert on. If we look at, so we've talked about his books. If we look at the title of any of his books, and you use that knowledge of abjad, which is easily available through any search engine, you can tell the year in which that book was written based on the title of that.
So Ala Hazrat was specially used a title for the book which, according to the knowledge of Abjad, would demonstrate, would reveal the year of his publication. Now,
who could even imagine doing that nowadays?
Allah.
And, you know, so if we look at, so any book you can look at, so, and we always see that he, most of the titles of his books are in Arabic, and that's one of the reasons, because there is a year hidden behind that. So if you have that knowledge, then you can expose the year behind it as well. And that, whichever book we look at. So it's similarly with Sudoku, because this is one of the skills which is used in writing Tawizat. So a person comes to one of the pupils of Sayyidi Ala Ali Rahmah, Maulana Zafaruddin Bihari Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, and he says, a 4x4 box, so not a 9x9, a 4x4 box, how many ways you could write that box? You could fill that box, where you always get the same answer, whether you go diagonally or in any direction.
Right.
So he was considered an expert. So he says that I can do it in 16 different ways. And each time, the answer would be the same. And he was rather proud of that. So he then turns to Maulana Zafaruddin Bihari rahmatullahi ta'ala and says, how many ways you could fill that Sudoku box, a 4x4 box? Allahu Akbar. He says that I can fill that box in 1,152
ways.
Again, based all purely on mathematics knowledge about knowing the values of numbers and coming to the same answer whichever way you go, whichever way you add them up. And then he says, 16 versus over 1,100. There is no comparison. How is that possible? Where did you get that? He says, I received it all from my sheikh. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahmatullah. So he's even more curious. He says, well, how many ways could Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahmah fill that box? And Allah, he says, he could fill it in 2,303 ways.
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah.
That was the control he had on numbers. That he could play with numbers. He could do whatever with numbers. And they would almost be like a play tool for Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahmah when it came. So of course, this is why when the questions would come to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahmah about the division of inheritance, you know, those complex calculations about how many parts of that inheritance would go to the son, to the daughter, to the widow and whatever, it was all mathematics based. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahmah would give such a detailed explanation and would even tell how to calculate it for the person in future. So even when scholars would ask him, he would use that example to teach them how to come up to that answers in future. That was his control over mathematics.
That's amazing in terms of his grasp over mathematics and the number of ways you've explained he was able to fill in that box. And the other person who came and who was in a way proud over his ability of filling through 16 ways. And look, the student of Allah, Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, you know, he can't even, you know, face the student of Allah, Hazrat Alayhi Rahmah.
Exactly.
Imagine what would be the shan of Imam Ahl Sunnah Alayhi Rahmah himself. When we talk about the importance of numbers, and you beautifully explained how in the entire universe we see how mathematical theories are implemented in a way. In the glorious Quran, you've explained how the words have been used. We see very beautifully that awliya karam rahimahumullah, they use this skill into their works, into their writings, as Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahmah has done so in his books, in the titles of his books, so on and so forth. Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliya also used these numerical numbers, these having association, and often uses the titles or headings having associations, associating them with certain numbers. For example, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim has 19 letters. So Amir Ahl Sunnah, I'm just giving an example. He would give an example. He would write that with the blessings of 19 words, 19 letters of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 19 Madani pearls regarding the benefits of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And similarly, we see that the beautiful booklet of Madani In'amat, which we have been given, if we see how many Madani In'amat have been given to us, all of them are associated, they're backed up by a number, and that number has a certain association in Islamic term. For example, for Islamic brothers, he has given us 72 Madani In'amat. For Islamic sisters, there are 63 Madani In'amat. Now, for 72 has an affiliation and association with the martyrs of Karbala, and 63 obviously has association with the apparent lifespan of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this world. And then the students of Jamiat al-Madinah who are becoming scholars, for them there are 92 Madani In'amat. So what is the association of 92? Again, the numerical number 92, it equates to the name of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam through ilme abjad. And so throughout the works of Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, we also see this beautiful bonding and association of numbers, numeracy, into the works of Deen when he is trying to explain different aspects in his works, in his books. And even the Madani Kaflas of Dawat-e-Islami, they are also of 72 hours. Again, there is a nisbah, an association linked to it. So we come to know that ulama-i karam, awliya-i karam, they use this numerical terminology as well to obviously reform the people. This has been the practice of awliya-i karam, rahimahumullah, and in today's day and age, we see the same practice being implemented by Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Ali as well, which again, Dr. Saab, I believe it is a given knowledge, a bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala onto His chosen people.
Alhamdulillah.
So, as we carry further, we come to know about the famous incident of a professor of mathematics who was confused in a very complex query of mathematics, and apparently he was traveling abroad to find the answer of that question, and someone directed him towards Allah Hazrat Alayhi Rahma. So please take us into it, that what exactly happened, who was that scholar, what kind of query it was, and how did he manage to go in the bargah of Imam Ahle Sunnat Alayhi Rahma, and what were his findings over there?
So that again, I think it's a historical event and has been narrated in various books. So this professor of mathematics, he's the vice chancellor of that university. You know, so person of high status, and this is Professor Sir Ziauddin.
Okay.
So that was his name. So he's knighted. So that's why he's carries
so
the title.
So he's knighted as well. He's a mathematician himself.
Mathematician.
He's a professor. Basically, he's a highly academic himself.
Correct. Absolutely. And he's a vice chancellor of such a renowned institute. Exactly. So, a person of that stature. So he's done his PhD, and he's been to Germany, he's been to UK, and then now he's back in the subcontinent now, I guess, rendering his services. And he gets stuck while teaching on a particular theorem. Yeah. So I guess the students on the Views of Madani channel who read mathematics at a higher level would know that there are, in mathematics, one of the things which students certainly are supposed to know are these theorems. And there are various theorems. So Pythagoras' theorem, for example, is very commonly used, but there are several theorems. So basically, it is what you need are some solving skills.
Right.
So by using mathematical numbers, various formulae, and then you try and reach to solution of that.
Okay.
So as part of trying to resolve that theorem, he got stuck. And now he can't answer. And of course, for a person of his stature, he can't accept. He can't accept defeat. So I have to find the answer to that. It cannot be unsolvable. So he goes. So he says, "Okay, I need to go to my professors, who from whom I've learned, to Germany in Munich."
Okay.
So that's where he decides to go. And the professor of Islamiyat in his university, Sayyid Suleiman Ashraf, he was the had special affiliation to Sayyidi Al Hazrat Ali Rahma.
Right.
So he says, well, you're traveling so far, as you said, you're traveling abroad. Why don't you go to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma? It's only in Bareilly Sharif, not far. It only will take a few hours on the train, and you will get
nothing
there.
To lose.
Nothing to lose, exactly. So, and, you know, so his, obviously, the response, as you would expect, he says, a Maulana?
Allah.
An Islamic scholar? What does he know about maths? And for a complex theorem which a person like me cannot solve, and you are directing me to go there.
Allah.
So you see, he almost ignored it and neglected that. But because obviously it requires some time, Sayyid Suleiman Ashraf, so he was a professor of Islam, so he insisted and said, you know, you must go. So anyway, so he took, ultimately, a few days later, they both go to Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Ali Rahma, and he, on that particular day, he wasn't feeling very well. So Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Ali Rahma wasn't feeling very well. So they go to his home, and they both enter, and he's introduced, and Sayyid Suleiman Ashraf says that he has a theorem and that he's a problem. So Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Ali Rahma, he's lying on his bed, and he says, yeah, give that to me. And so he says, oh no, you need to be, you know, you need to be in a better health for this. You know, this
just
is,
to understand it, you
exactly.
need to be in a better
this,
health.
Yeah, this is not for a weak mind.
Allah,
you know? So you know,
he didn't know who has he come to.
Exactly. So he didn't know, you know, who is. So Sayyidi Alas Rahmatullah Ta'ala insisted. He said, oh, please show it to me. If I can't, then I'll let you know. So he shows it to him, and it's so his words are that within few seconds, Sayyidi Alas Ali Rahma solves that mysterious, the unsolvable theorem. There and then, with no preparation, no reference to any book, no prior knowledge of his coming, just presented and extempo, he gives that answer.
Allah,
so now Professor Ziauddin, he's gobsmacked. You know, so he's almost shocked. How is that possible? How could he answer this? Which university you've been to? That was his question.
Allah, okay.
And Sayyidi Alat Ali Rahma says, oh, this is just a trailer of what I have done in maths. He says, Sayyidi Alat Ali Rahma, so again, humbly, you know, that was his quality, you know, the humility. He says, oh, when I'm sitting at home with nothing else to do, I just solve some theorems.
Subhanallah.
So this is my the pastime. So this is not my usual work.
Allahu Akbar.
So then he asked someone to bring some manuscripts, which say the Allah Alayhi Rahman has written himself on mathematics from his library.
Right.
So handwritten manuscripts, say the Allah Alayhi Rahman. Professor Ziauddin says, the moment I looked at them, my jaw dropped.
Allahu Akbar.
This was the knowledge I had spent years learning from these incredible universities in the Western world. And I spent hours upon hours, you know, with professors to learn all of that. And Sayyidi Allah Ta'ala Rahman had the most modern knowledge of mathematics, of algebra, all solved in his manuscripts. He's handwritten. It's not even in a book form. Handwritten. So he says to say Allah Rahman, so he comes, so when he, on his return, he says to Sayyidi Sulaiman al-Shraf, that this is inspired knowledge. This is ilm al-ladunni. He cannot know these things by his heart. He must have been told. So he then asks Sayyidi Allah Ta'ala Rahman this question. And he says, how did you learn all of this? You must have done something. And the reply before that, Sayyidi Allah Ta'ala Rahman says, how many logarithms? So again, we're back to logarithm. He says, up to what power of 10 can you solve a logarithmic question? And he says, 10 raised to power 3. So again, without calculator, writing, doing it manually, I can do 10 raised to power 3. And he says to Sayyidi Allah Ta'ala Rahman, what can you do? So before answering this question, at that time there was Maulana Qambar Ali Shah, who was another disciple of Sayyidi Allah Ta'ala Rahman, and another scholar. Those two were also present there. So Sayyidi Allah Ta'ala Rahman asked, Sir Ziauddin said, why don't you go to both of them and they can solve it up to 10 raised to power 9.
Allahu Akbar.
And these are my students.
Subhanallah.
So they can solve it to that level. So then you can imagine at what level I could do.
Subhanallah.
And this is, you know, the students, again, they're not students of mathematics. They're students of Islamic studies. They're Islamic scholars, but with that knowledge. So finally, he says, how could you learn all of this? Where did you learn all of that? And what does Sayyidi Allah Ta'ala Rahman says, that is his historical statement. He says, there are only four things which I learned in mathematics. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division.
Allahu Akbar.
Those are the only four things. And when I tried to learn more, my respected father, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan, alayhi rahmatur rahman, he says, you don't need to waste any more time doing that. Because if you just focus on learning Islamic studies, this knowledge of maths and everything else would be taught to you by the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and that would be the grace of learning ilm-e-deen.
Subhanallah.
What beautiful message he has given at the end, that, you know, you're spending years learning mathematics and you can answer only 10 to power 3. I remain humble, but I can solve it to way more than you can. And this is only based on those four basics of mathematics.
SubhanAllah, mashallah, that's amazingly explained. And what great excellence and dignity Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and vast amount of knowledge he had, because it's not easy to impress an academic person. And an academic, a PhD holder, a vice chancellor of a university, saying these words in the praise of Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, after being inspired by Imam Ahl Sunnah al-Rahma in the field in which he himself is an expert. So this is amazing rank and amazing knowledge of Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And we also come to know that the same professor also not only benefited in terms of worldly education, in terms of mathematics, mathematical knowledge of Imam Ahl Sunnah al-Rahma, but spiritually as well. He gained the suhba, the company of Imam al-Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and spiritually as well he gained a lot of benefits, because Imam al-Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh was just not a mathematician, but if you talk about mysticism, whatever you want to talk about, Imam al-Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh is right up there as a guide. So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, we come to know in today's episode regarding the great remarkable achievements of Imam al-Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh in the field of mathematics as well, which is not an easy field. And other those highly ranked professors and PhD holders in this very field, they also praised Imam al-Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh upon his knowledge in the field of mathematics. Again, we come to the same point that his peers, what do they say about him in that relevant field? So we come to know that even those who held PhD degree in that very field, even they were gobsmacked once they came to know about the knowledge of Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh in that relevant field of science. And this was all the bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May Allah Almighty shower his choicest of mercies and blessings upon the blessed shrine of our master Imam Ahl-Sunnat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, and enable us to tread on his footsteps. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. The intellectual mountains and